Namaste. I'm Jennifer Francis, and you're listening to Home on the Res, a radio podcast that will give you a new perspective on housing in First Nations communities.
And I'm Mick Favel. We're both journalism students at the First Nations University of Canada.
A few months ago, we started working with FINBOA, the First Nations National Building Officers Association, to produce a radio podcast series about housing on First Nations.
Housing on reserves is complicated and confusing. And the news we hear is all bad. In fact, I can't think of a single housing success story.
But when we started talking with the folks of FINBOA, we started to see things differently. There are success stories, and Home on the Res is the perfect way to share those stories with you.
That's right. Our episode today has helped me to understand something I've wondered about for a long time.
And what's that?
Why are houses on First Nations not like the houses in the towns and the cities around us? I mean, I'm no expert, but I can see the difference.
I know, right? Well, for this episode, which we called Building Better Homes, I interviewed Keith Miracle, who is an independent contractor and also the president of FINBOA.
FINBOA represents people who work on First Nations, doing both construction and renovations of residential and commercial buildings.
FINBOA provides information and support to keep its members up to date so they can support communities they work in. FINBOA offers professional development and networking, certification for people already working in housing, and links to partners like CMHC, Indigenous Affairs, and the National Research Council.
If you haven't already, you should check out the FINBOA website at www.fnnboa.ca. They have the latest information for everyone interested in housing. Now let's hear Jennifer's conversation with FINBOA's Keith Miracle.
We want to get a better picture on how houses are built in Canada. So can you describe how houses are built off-reserve, like let's say in Saskatoon or North Bay?
Well, off-reserve, there's a process that you go through. Every community has a process where you apply for a building permit. You turn in a couple of two or three sets of plans. They go over the plans. They do what's called a plans evaluation to make sure that they're going to meet the code that for the province that you're working in, and then that process goes on through, and the plumbing is looked at, the heating layout is looked at and checked, and then you're issued a permit. You're asked to have so many inspections done at certain stages, usually site, foundation, before the footings are poured, foundation, framing, and plumbing and heating, ones like that. And then you apply for an occupancy permit at the end of it when it's substantially done, 95%, I think is the usual number that they use off reserve.
And, yeah, how are the houses built in First Nations communities as opposed to being built off-reserve?
Well, in First Nations communities, sometimes we do the plans evaluation on them. We do a site assessment, and we do four or five inspections. But there's no permit required of any kind. And usually when we do a plans evaluation on a house, and we find that there's issues with it and that don't meet the code, you put them on. The First Nation doesn't have the money to go back to whoever created the plans and have them changed. So they just keep building with what they got. And the majority of the time, the mistakes that were made on the plan are what's the mistakes in the unit itself.
And who is responsible to ensure the homes are being built to the National Building Code and standards?
There's a thing that's called the authority having jurisdiction. The authority having jurisdiction is chief and council. So when they get money from any federal agent to build houses with, they sign an agreement that they will build according to Part 9 of the National Building Code. But a lot of the First Nations don't see the houses as being as belonging to them. They think that the houses belong to CMHC because they got the money from them, or Indian Affairs because they got the money from them. And they think that they're the ones that should be doing the inspections. Well, they come in and they do inspections, or they have them done on their behalf, but they're what we call progress inspections. So they look to see, are the windows in? Yes. Is the roof on? Yes. Is the flooring down? Yes. Is the siding on? Yes. But is it on right? No. That's a compliance inspection. But nobody's paying for a and the compliance inspection should be done by the authority having jurisdiction, who is chief and counsel.
So, yeah, you mentioned the compliance inspectors. So do we have stuff like building inspectors on First Nations as well?
We do. We have some very, very good First Nation inspectors. They've taken the provincial courses and everything, and they're at par with their provincial counterparts. But when we get to First Nation level, the problem that we have is that they have no authority. They're just a resource to the First Nation. So if they write up that something's been built wrong and it's an infraction on the code, the majority of the time it doesn't get fixed. It just gets overlooked and that. So without having any authority to start or stop a job at First Nation level, then the mistakes on the plans are built right into the houses.
So do these building inspectors work with other organizations to ensure that they have the most recent information on construction practices?
Most certainly. They take the same courses that any First Nation or that any off-reserve building inspector takes. They take the provincial courses and they pass them, and there's an exam. They write the exams and everything.
Are there First Nations communities building new homes to building codes nowadays? Like, are there plans signed by a professional engineer or architect just to make sure that things are being built to code and standards?
Yeah, there's a lot of there's some really, really good builders. First Nation houses being built on First Nation level, and this issue of This issue of having an architect or an engineer sign on these housing is, I've never ever really liked that, because engineer stamps cost money. We don't get nowhere near enough money to build the house with in the first place, and so a lot of the First Nations will not waste that money on an engineer stamp.
So how important is it to ensure that homes are being built to building code standards?
Oh, it's very, very important that we build them. It's a health and safety issue for our people, and we need to make sure that our people are taken care of in those issues. So when we get if we get more money to build houses with, we can build them to last longer, more longevity in the houses. They're, you know, more energy efficient, and the environment of them is a lot better, and you know, our families won't be coming down with all of the issues that we have health-wise.
So what are some of the challenges facing First Nations to ensure that homes are being built properly?
I think one of the biggest challenges is the people that are building them. A lot of the times the First Nation, we try to make sure that our own people are taken care of, our own people get to work, our own people do work like that. And that's all well, and I approach that, and I love that aspect of the First Nations. But if the people don't know what they're doing, and they're not educated in the building code, or understand the building code, or know why they're doing something, and the result of that down the road, then we end up with bad houses.
So is there a difference from homes being built in northern Canada compared to those being built in the southern part of the country?
Yeah, there's quite a difference in them. Sometimes, now there's some really, really good houses being built in the north, but a lot of the times the smaller reserves don't have the extra to put in to make them real energy efficient and stuff, and that, and put proper foundations under them. So, you know, they get built like shelters. They don't get built like houses. So, you know, I've looked at houses in southern Ontario, and I go into northern Ontario up on the James Bay coast, and I see the identical same house that's in southern Ontario. And, you know, you've got down here, we've got 300 or 400 degree days. Up in there, they got 800 or 900, 1,000 degree days. And so the house isn't, you got a southern designed house in a northern environment.
So as First Nations move forward, what lessons can we learn to make sure that homes are being built to building code standards?
Well, the first lesson that we need to learn is that we need to take care, we need to take control of our own housing. The authority having jurisdiction, chief and councils, housing committees, housing authorities have to step up and say, you know, we're going to do it right, and we're going to, if there's something not meeting the code in the plans, then it needs to be changed before we start, and to make sure. And we also need to make sure that the people that are building them are qualified, they understand the building code, they understand what's happening with it, and they understand the consequences of not building them right. You know, our biggest issue is the fact that our First Nation councils need to understand the authority that they have, and that our people need to understand that if we're going to pay you to do a job, you need to understand and be qualified to do the job that we're paying you to do.
That was awesome. I'm so much smarter now than I was 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, you're a smart one, all right. And Keith is such a great teacher. No wonder he's the president of FinBOA. He's so candid and so experienced, and he can really explain what's going on behind the scenes in housing.
That's right. I never realized that our First Nations leaders have this authority of jurisdiction. And that seems to be at the heart of this issue.
You're right. We need our chief and councils to assert their jurisdiction when it comes to housing. They know what their people need, and they're the leaders who can improve things on First Nations.
And the other people who need to be listened to are the First Nations men and women who become fully qualified housing inspectors. They shouldn't just be a resource. They should have the authority to make sure that all houses on reserve are just as good as the best houses off reserve. That's our show for today. Tune in to Indigenous radio stations across Canada to hear our next episode.
And if you missed any of our shows, you can find them at www.fnboa.ca. Look for the Radio FinBOA link.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have comments or suggestions, you can leave a voice message at 613-236-2040. Or you can email info@fnnboa.ca.
Thanks to our Chase producer and researcher, Annette Ermine, who tracked down all of our interviews and reached out to the Indigenous radio networks that are airing Home on the Res. Shannon Avison is our producer, writer, and editor. And our executive producer is John Krodowski.
Special thanks to Keith Miracle and FinBOA for giving us the opportunity to learn about housing on First Nations to share with you. I'm Mick Favel.
And I'm Jennifer Francis. Thanks for listening to Home on the Res.